This is a 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station special presentation. Holiday Heroes with Burns and Gambo.
Benefiting the 100 Club of Arizona.
Presented by Copper Springs Health and your Arizona Ford dealers. Live from the Grand Canyon University Golf Course in Phoenix, this is Holiday Heroes on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Gambo and I have been on since 10 a.m. It's been an absolute pleasure to be on since 10 a.m. here for Holiday Heroes and the 100 Club of Arizona. All of our terrific volunteers, all of our staff members at the radio station, and all the great people from the 100 Club have been here a lot sooner than that, setting up for today's broadcast, and we appreciate all of their hard work, and we are thankful for everyone being a part of our Holiday Heroes broadcast here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. You and Mark Asher Gambo started this many, many years ago, and it's an honor to be able to continue and carry on this tradition and raising money and awareness for the 100 Club of Arizona. There's no doubt. We love to do it.
We do love to do it. And it's something we'll continue to do. It's a great cause, and a lot of people didn't know about the 100 Club back then, but we hope they know about it now.
Joining us right now, and we love telling the stories. We love hearing the stories about the impact of the 100 Club. Is Trooper Scott Armstrong, a canine trooper with the DPS, Arizona Department of Public Safety, 21 years of service. And we thank you first and foremost
for
your 21 years of service. It is greatly appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Tell me about how you came to need the services of the 100 Club.
Boy, it was February 8th of this year. I was coming back from Flagstaff with my boss. My sergeant was driving. And we were just 5 miles out of Flagstaff at the Kachina exit, and we were rear-ended at a high rate of speed by a very impaired driver, drugs and alcohol. And subsequently, the truck we were in rolled over, and although the seatbelt kept me in the vehicle, my leg was managed to be thrown out of the vehicle and was severely injured. And so after 5 weeks in the hospital and to date 8 or 9 surgeries, they saved my leg, but I was off duty for 10 months and just now reintegrating for light duty.
So you almost lost your leg?
Yes. Every time I went to surgery for the first 2 or 3 times, they said, you may come out with nothing.
What do you remember about the accident? Did you think, could you feel your leg at that time? Were you aware? Were you awake?
I was conscious the entire time. When the rolling and the tumbling stopped, I remember just doing an assessment of myself and then seeing my leg was actually out the vehicle and had a severe open fracture, so I could see the inside of my leg. And I had to instruct the guys to take it easy when they pulled me out, and then there was no pain at that time. And then as I was being treated, then I felt the pressure on the area. But
rollovers there are dangerous because you're not that far away from when you start to come down the hill and there's a lot of mountains, and you go over and you're done with. You're only 5 miles out. You're pretty close to those areas.
Yes, exactly. It's in the wooded area, and it's rolling hills, but it was a peaceful, quiet day. And you think of drunk drivers as being typically a nighttime thing. This was 9:30 on a Thursday morning. The morning was beautiful. I was had a cup of coffee, and then just boom, everything
exploded. Stop?
Yeah, he spun around and went up the hill closer to the exit than we were. We went into the median. He was facing wrong way and was out of the vehicle and I don't think he knew what was going on, according to they told me later. I never saw him at the scene.
Wow. 9 surgeries? 8 or 9 surgeries?
8 to date.
Yeah.
More to come?
What's that?
More to come?
Potentially, yes.
Oh,
we'll have to do some rod removal and some revision.
But they saved your leg?
Yes.
And
yes.
So what did the 100 Club do for you? You were out of work for a while.
They took care of me, assisted me financially, and they visited me and checked on my needs.
Did you work a second job to make a little extra income now and then?
I did, frequently. I was what you call an overtime hound.
So you lose all of that, right?
Yeah, you do.
I mean, so is that one of the benefits of getting some financial assistance to help the family?
Absolutely. It fills in the voids which you become accustomed to. Fortunately, it wasn't necessary.
Live.
Yeah, but I was building my retirement, you know. So subsidizing and putting as much money away as I could, because I got 1 week, ironically, before the accident occurred, I entered what's called a drop, a retirement program, and I had 5 years to go. So I was 1 week into that, and that occurred. So
yeah. Tell me about your first recollection of the 100 Club in those moments after the accident, your first few interactions with them, and how those conversations went, what it was like, what they were offering, what assistance they were providing.
Well, the early ones I probably don't remember very well.
Yes.
Because I was impaired with pain-relieving drugs, etc. But later on, Angela Harrell would come by and some of the other representatives and check on me, have a conversation for a while, hang out a little bit, and provide me some financial assistance.
You know, people don't realize how much that financial assistance helps. So help explain that to me, because it's not like, you know, like I said, I mean, it's, the amount of money you're making on a regular basis is probably a little bit more. Then when you're out of work, you lose some opportunities to make money and support your family.
Yes, you do. It was every month. Well, initially, it was $1,500, and then every month after that, it was $500 until I get back to work.
And it just comes in handy, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, you know, you're used to a certain income because it's an opportunity that you, when you became a police officer, that's what you, one of the benefits, one of the perks is taking these off-duty jobs. And suddenly that's not available to you, and then you're like,
Right.
How am I gonna? Yeah.
How am I gonna?
How am I gonna fill that void? Right. How am I gonna fill up that empty space that was there? That was there before.
Was your canine with you?
He was not, fortunately. That's another sad story that happened. By the time I was released from the hospital, he was diagnosed with cancer and has since passed.
Oh,
so.
It's my favorite part of, you know, usually they bring the canine dogs around. I love the canine dogs.
He visited me in the hospital a couple times.
And, he did.
He actually there was a photo in the. Online about him climbing into bed with me in Flagstaff, and he spent the night on the floor with me a few times.
They're amazing, those dogs.
Oh yeah,
I mean the stories about what those dogs can do to take down a criminal.
Yeah,
is just I'm fascinated by, you know, with their ability to do what they do.
Yeah,
absolutely. And maybe I'm biased, but he was a fantastic dog.
Yeah, I'm sure the bond between a canine officer and his or her dog is. One that it might even be hard to describe, right? I'm sure it's a special, very unique relationship between human and animal. It's got to be very special.
This is true. I turned down a promotion to stay with him.
Really?
Really?
Really? Yeah. Turned down a promotion just to remain a canine officer.
Don't some people like after the dogs are retired, don't some of the officers that don't they keep the dogs?
Yes. We buy them from the department for a small price, and then they remain ours, and we're responsible for them from then on.
How about that? That's a fascinating story.
It is.
It's been an honor hearing your story. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share it with us and talk about
good
the
luck with more
the
surgeries
Club.
If you have to get them.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for doing what you do. Appreciate it.
Yeah. We appreciate you. Thank you for your service. 21 years of service?
Well, 26 net total.
26
in total. Arizona total. Yeah.
Well, we do thank you for that. That service means a lot to everybody in this community. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, guys.
Trooper Scott Armstrong joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show live from the GCU Golf Course. Our Holiday Heroes broadcast here. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and it continues. We continue to ask you to text to donate. We'll tell you about that in a moment, and we'll circle back to our top story of the day in sports, the Suns Arena, and the future of the Suns here in Phoenix, next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Live from the Grand Canyon University Golf Course in Phoenix, this is Holiday Heroes on 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Welcome back here on this Wednesday. We're live from the Grand Canyon University Golf Course, 59th Avenue and Indian School. Our golfers are out on the course. They're starting to kind of trickle back into the clubhouse here. We're with you until 6 o'clock today, continuing to say thank you to our first responders like Trooper Scott Armstrong and others who have joined us over the course today, and, of course, all of the countless hundreds, if not thousands, out there listening right now who aren't in right now, but we want to say thank you for your service. If you're a police officer, a firefighter, a DPS officer,
we would rather you just say thank you.
You're quoting "Few Good Men" on me.
Few Good Men on you. Yeah, it is a way to say thank you. Absolutely. I mean, and I do. I want to see. We got a bunch of jerseys. We still have the Chandler Jones jersey. He's going to go out in a little bit, right? Oh, we got a winner.
Got a winner. On
Chandler,
the Chandler
Jones jersey. Who is it?
Daniel Duskin from Phoenix.
Oh, Daniel's got the jersey.
On the Chandler Jones jersey, autographed perfectly on the top of the first five of 55.
Yeah. Coyote fans, Clayton Keller's up next. Coyote fans, let's get 10 of you Coyote fans right now to donate $25 so you can win the autographed Clayton Keller jersey. I need 10 of you right now to get in on this by texting 100CLUB to 62620. Clayton Keller, beautiful jersey. So nice. Great signature, too. I'm looking at right on the number 9. Clayton Keller's jersey up next. I need 10 Coyote fans to get in on this. Just donate $25, just a total of $25 by texting 100CLUB to 62620, and you may hear your name called in about a half an hour to get a free jersey.
Yep, that's how we're doing it with the jerseys. You can also donate $100 to be entered into the Ultimate Arizona Sports Fan Package. We'll talk about that in a minute. But again, text 100CLUB to 62620, as Gambo mentioned, and we can get in on that. The top story of the day was kind of broke this morning. word trickled out this morning, late last night, early this morning, that the vote on the renovations for the Suns' home, Talking Stick Resort Arena, was going to be delayed. The Phoenix City Council hearing meeting is underway now. This is item like 29 on the agenda, so it's going to take them a while before they get to it, but everybody expects that the vote on the renovations will not happen today, and that they'll push it back to perhaps January 23rd or so. There's been a lot of news about this, most of which is being reported from AZ Central and their columnist Lori Roberts, in which she reported that it became clear last night the Phoenix Suns didn't have the votes in this, that they needed like four would kill the deal, right? And there were like five already voting against it.
There's seven votes altogether, I think.
They need to win 4-3 in order for the thing to pass, but right now it was 5-2 against. So there was concern they didn't have the votes last night. And the one line that is sticking with everybody was written by Lori Roberts, in which she wrote in her write-up this morning on AZ Central, quote, "Meanwhile, Sarver is telling city officials he may take the team to Seattle or Las Vegas, one source told me," close quote. Now, we're waiting to see if there's going to be a delay on this. We're waiting to see what the impact of this. But the threat of leaving is what a lot of people are kind of focused on right now. There's a lot of moving parts to this story, Gambo. A lot.
Sarah, listen, there's a lot of things to take into place here. The most important thing is just I want to get my feelings out. I do believe that the Suns, as unpopular as their owner is right now, the Suns have been in this building since 1992. Okay, I do believe that they do need something. Now, the Suns are willing to put up $80 million of their own money, but I want to tell you that does not include the money for the practice court. That's separate.
Right.
So that's another $30 to $50 million for the practice court that they're putting up. So they're putting up $80 million for the renovations. Then they're putting up another $30 to $50 million for the practice court. So the Suns are on the hook for somewhere between $110 and $130 million. They have been here since 92. The building is the worst in the NBA. Their practice facility, the worst in the NBA. I'm of the agreement. I believe that they do need something, public, private, to kind of do that. Now, they're not asking for a new arena. They're not trying to get – they're just trying to get renovations. What's renovations? Electrical, plumbing, architecture, expanding, you know, the ability for the concourse, expanding the concourse and things like that. So from that perspective, I'm in agreement that they should get something. Now, the city council, they got a new mayor coming in April. She's got a lot of clout, apparently. She's not going to want to put any money taxpayer money into an arena. But this deal, I mean, what the Suns bring to what they bring to the city is quite a bit. And a lot of that money, the tax money that's generated, does come from people that are coming in, tourists and things like that. But this is a battle that they have right now, the Suns, with the city council, and whether they can get this to a vote, whether they can get the vote approved, whether there'd be litigation if it is approved, and this is going to be a long process.
Okay, just breaking news coming in right now on this topic, and I was just handed this from our producer, Jordan Bird. Phoenix City Council votes to delay the vote on a deal with the Suns to renovate Talking Stick Resort Arena until January 23rd. Five public meetings to take place on this between now and January 23rd. The vote was supposed to happen today. It lacked enough votes to pass. The vote happening now to put off council consideration. So it is going to be delayed. There will be no vote on the arena today, on the arena renovations today from the Phoenix City Council. They are going to hold five separate public hearings to take the temperature of the public on this to see what they think before voting on this on January 23rd. But I can tell you right now, again, the reports were coming out, and you kind of corroborated a lot of these reports, that as of last night, they just didn't have the votes to get this to pass today.
No, they didn't have the votes. I mean, a couple of things that they're going to have to win over these city council members on a couple of different things like this. The arena generates a direct economic impact of $182 million per year. That includes indirect and induced economic impact. That figure will grow to $335 million. There are 1,140 jobs representing $82 million in payroll across more than 50 businesses, which is directly attributable to the arena and its operation and tenants. So there's a lot of money coming in. The city, you know, the deal was the city's going to contribute $150, the Suns are going to contribute $80, and each party will also make annual payments to a reserve account. Now, they've had a deal in place for many, many years that's been in place to kind of, you know, put money towards revenue and things like that. So that's what they're trying to get to. They're trying to get to the point where they can say, okay, let's because the tax money is something, a catalyst that's triggered by a lot of people that are coming in and visiting the area, not so much the people that are living in Phoenix and paying taxes.
Yeah, look, this is obviously...
Let me just go up because I just found rental car and bed taxes, which are nearly all paid for by tourists and non-local visitors rather than Phoenix taxpayers. So that's important. The city funding was derived from a mechanism more than 26 years ago. It's funded by rental cars and bed taxes. So this was the mechanism that was put in place 26 years ago. They're just looking to increase, to just like continue the deal. Mm-hmm. We want to continue the deal and continue to, you know, to renovate the building so it could be a good building and put some money into it. And, you know, right now at this point, they don't have the votes to get that through.
There were no votes. I'm gonna read. It was 8-0, by the way, to push it back. So there will be absolutely no vote today. They're going to have 5 public hearings to let the public weigh in on renovations that are not up for a public vote. And I know we talked about that earlier, too, that if the city council agrees to these renovations, there could be a potential lawsuit from people who aren't going to be happy that $150 million of City of Phoenix
yes.
tax money was spent on this renovation. So that's something else to look for as well. Would there be a lawsuit about this?
And let me touch on that.
Yeah.
Because what I have found out in doing some research on this is that the state constitution allows for the people to challenge a decision of elective officials. They have to do that. You've got 30 days to collect a certain amount of signatures. I don't know the number to put the matter to a public vote. So that's going to be the interesting thing, because the city council is going to say you can't go to a referendum. But there are other people that say, well, you can, because the state constitution allows it if the people want to challenge it. You have to have enough people that want to challenge it, and then you can challenge the decision of elective official based on the state constitution. So that is what we'll see. That happened at Los Arcos when they were trying to build an arena for the Coyotes. That happened at Los Arcos. It did not happen in Glendale, but it did happen at Los Arcos. So that'll be something to keep your eye on as well.
Jason Rowley, the president of the Phoenix Suns, will be joining us at 5 o'clock here in our studio today here at GCU Golf Course, so we'll get more details from him about that. Then our Holiday Heroes broadcast continues here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Holiday Heroes
with Burns and Gambo, presented by your Arizona Ford dealers
and Copper Springs Health.
Live from the GCU Golf Course, Holiday Heroes on 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Here from the GCU Golf Course on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, the Burns and Gambo Show, and this is what we do this time of year every year. We help raise awareness and money for the 100 Club of Arizona through text donations, through your generosity, trying to help out the 100 Club, an organization that provides financial assistance, emotional assistance to the families of fallen and injured firefighters and police officers and DPS officers and Border Patrol agents. And the 100 Club, this is their 50th year of existence. Such a wonderful organization. This is the 11th year. Gambo has been doing a fundraiser for them around this time of year, and I've been happy to be with him for most of those 11. And unfortunately, Gambo, there are times when there are really tough stories that have to be told. To talk about the importance of the 100 Club and what it means. And joining us right now here on our little set, Debbie and Kaylee Edenhofer, the mother of DPS Trooper Tyler Edenhofer and the fiance of DPS Trooper Tyler Edenhofer, who on July 25th of 2018 lost his life doing his job as a DPS officer here in the state of Arizona. And first of all, ladies, I want to say thank you very much. Never easy, I know, being here and telling these stories, but we do appreciate your courage and both of you being here. We really do.
Thank you.
Kaylee, I'll start with you. This was your fiancé.
Yes.
And did you guys have a date yet for the wedding?
We didn't have a date. We were just waiting for him to get out of training to really start, like, you know, setting a date and really starting life, I guess, because we had both gotten out of the Navy, so we were just trying to transition into a civilian life. So after training...
So you were both in the Navy?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and after training, go ahead.
After training, we were just, you know, we were going to start our life, so...
And then tell me about what you remember from that day, July 25th, 2018. What do you remember about the morning? Did he go to work in the morning? Was it a night shift? What can you tell us about that?
So he worked from 2 to 10.
Okay.
So he was sleeping. I woke up, you know, started doing my normal routine, getting stuff ready for him. I had just started a job out there, so they had called me in to start training for it. But they couldn't get the system right, so they ended up letting me go for the day. So I went home. At this point, he was awake, and we started getting him ready for the shift. Just our normal routine, make him breakfast. He's getting dressed. We're just doing our normal thing. Gave him a kiss, just a peck, you know, nothing fancy because we didn't know this would happen, but...
And so he went.
Then he pulled off, and he always lit the lights for her.
He always did this thing where he'd light up before he'd leave, and then he took off for the last time.
The lights on the top of the vehicle, he would light those as sort of a goodbye before he drove out. That's very special.
Was this a dream of his after getting out of the Navy? Is this what he wanted to do?
It was, and when I look back at some of the stuff, like 2015, he was starting to talk to sworn troopers to, you know, start the process to getting into DPS, and, you know, it's what he thought about. Like, as soon as he knew he was getting out, this is all he wanted to do, so, and that's what we did. We just did everything that led up to being a trooper.
So on July 25th, during his shift between 2 and 10, he responds to a call. Subjects throwing rocks onto the highway. Contact is made. Physical struggle ensues. And during the struggle, the suspect obtains a firearm. The shots were fired. And your fiancé lost his life. What do you remember about the... I'm going to tear up, too. You thought I was going to cry. So I am, because I... These are just so tragic stories. So you're at home... what's the first, the both of you, I'll let you both answer. What's the first you heard about the incident and what happened to Tyler? How was it a phone call? Was it a knock on the door? What was it?
Well, for me, so he was being stationed in Quartzsite, which is an hour and 45 minutes away from where he was training. So for me, I was woken up by a trooper banging on the door. And I didn't think anything of it because in Quartzsite, the door, the handle didn't really work, so I thought maybe he was having, like, a bad night and just didn't want to deal with trying to open the lock. But so I look out where his patrol car would normally be, and it wasn't there, and I see red and blue lights flashing. So I open up the door, and it's our next-door neighbor, Diaz. And he's, you know, telling me we got to go. And so I'm rushing around, getting dressed, you know, making sure my dogs are all set, and then we start leaving for Buckeye from Quartzsite, so...
Debbie, how about you?
Same thing. I'm a pretty much sound sleeper. I've been a single parent my whole life. Now that my kids are grown, I sleep really well. I guess DPS came to my door and I didn't hear them. But my boyfriend at the time, I had just given him my house keys a couple days prior. And Kaylee was calling everybody. My sister was calling everybody. They called him. He came over and came right in my house. I was sleeping. And he says, we got to go. Tyler's been shot. And that's all I knew. And I'm thinking...
You think it was just that he got shot, he'll be okay?
Yeah, like he got shot in the arm or something. And when I got to the hospital, it was just... I knew something bad had happened.
How?
And there was 100 million DPS officers outside. I pulled up and they're like, this is Mom. And they took me back there.
Yeah.
Kaylee and I got to go in the room and see.
So you knew just from the amount of people that were there?
Yeah,
in the hospital. In the hospital. Did you?
I think I knew long before that, because you know, they tell us at a graduation that as long as you don't hear anything, they're okay. But when you hear something, it's not okay. And then just things throughout the car ride, like don't check social media, just these little things, and I just.
Those are the things they were telling you not to do.
Yeah, and yeah. I knew it, so.
Yeah.
When did you when did you find out for sure when you were in the hospital who told you?
Well, I for sure knew when I walked into this little room they had us all in, and there was a chaplain in there. And when you see a chaplain or a priest, you know.
Let's talk about the 100 Club, and in the days to follow, what the 100 Club, and I'll give you guys a minute to kind of catch your breath a little bit, because I know that can be very, very tough, what just happened there a few minutes ago. In the days that followed, tell me about your first, Kaylee, your first encounter with the 100 Club, and what that was like, and what the message was from them in light of what had happened to your fiance.
So it was the next day. Angela had shown up. And, you know, at this time, you don't want this type of support, but she shows up with some financial help for not only Debbie, but for me as well. And she's just there to help support us through, you know, the next conversation, which is planning a funeral with DBS. And she goes beyond that, too, because I don't know how many times we've met for coffee just to talk about things. And so she's there for more than just a financial support, but almost like a mentor or something, because she's been there too.
Yeah. I can see she's, you know, Angela's with you right now, sitting right next to you. She wouldn't let you do this interview without being there next to you.
Yeah, that's Angela. She made sure she was sitting next to both of you.
And she's gone through this. She knows what it's like.
What, Debbie, what positive things can you say about the 100 Club and what it's meant for you, for your son's fiance, for your family and your unit, kind of since in the days and the weeks and the months since July 25th? What strength have you guys been able to draw from the 100 Club in the weeks since that terrible day in July?
Oh, my gosh, a lot of strength. And like Kaylee said, she's been there for support. You know, we didn't expect anybody to come right away and help us, and she was right there, and she's been through this. She knows what we're feeling, and she has just been phenomenal. The 100 Club has been awesome. They've done so much for us.
I mean, there's so many things. The financial assistance, and people don't realize this. I mean, you know, the financial assistance has to come in so handy for everything that has to go, that it's going on in your life, from paying bills to trying to worry about arranging a funeral. I imagine that check that you got from the 100 Club went a long way.
It sure did.
Could you have done it without it?
No.
I mean, is that the truth?
That is the truth.
You could not have done it without the check from the 100 Club.
So I was a student, and I still owed tuition, and I had bills and cell phone bills, and I had my car payment and part of rent, and because me and Tyler, we split everything, you know, down the middle. So, you know, it helped me. It helped me get through that phase. That, you know, it's last month and now it's a new month, and that amount of money that she gave me, it helped significantly.
Yeah. Tyler was 24 years old when he gave his life.
Yes.
In the line of duty, gave his life. I imagine you're close in the same age, right?
A little older, yeah.
A little bit older. Yeah. Both of you guys were in the Navy. You come out, you're ready to get your whole life started, and then your whole world comes crashing down because somebody shoots your fiance. And I just can't imagine, you know, what that's like. I can't imagine how hard it is for you, both of you, every day to go to. Imagine you're not much of a hard sleeper now, right?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we are. We've been supporting the 100 Club for a long time, and these stories are always the toughest. But I know that Angela and the 100 Club will be with you guys forever. But I mean, they will. They'll be with you for as long as you need them. They'll be there.
And I know that these stories are tough to tell, and I know that it's hard, and we can't express enough our gratitude, your courage, willing to talk about this, because it's not easy.
Was Tyler a sports fan?
He was. Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills was his name?
Mm-hmm. Bills Mafia. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Bills Mafia.
I was
Mafia.
Born in Buffalo, moved out here when I was little, so he just kind of became Buffalo Bills.
So he grew up here?
Yes.
What school did he go to?
He went to Fairfax, Betty H. Fairfax and Levine.
Okay.
He was actually, I was in the Air Force, and he was born at Luke
My
Air
goodness,
Force
Base. You were in the Air Force.
Yes.
You were in the Air Force. You were in the Navy. He was in the Navy. You guys have some military background.
Yes.
Well, we thank you for your
and
service.
And he was born out at Luke Air Force Base Hospital.
Oh, wow. He was born at Luke Air Force Base. Okay.
And I my job at the time, I was the admissions clerk. So I signed off on all the new birth certificates as the clerk. So I got to sign as clerk and mom.
Oh, that's that's really special.
It was really cool.
That's really cool.
Really cool.
Ladies, I know it's been really tough. Thank you for your bravery and your courage and your willingness to come down here and do this. It's all for a cause and all for a purpose and all to help raise money for the 100 Club, and it's what we're trying to do. And we both
definitely
really appreciate your willingness to come here and tell that awful, terrible, horrible, painful story with us. We really do appreciate it, and we hope that you're okay with telling the story the way you did. We really do appreciate it. Thank you guys both.
Thank you
for being
us.
Here with us. Really, thank you.
Thank you.
And best of luck to both of you in the future.
You did good.
Wow. Oof. Yeah. We'll a moment to gather ourselves, but that's why we're here. That's why the 100 Club is here. That's why Angela is here. That's why all of her staff are here, all of her supporters and people who work for the 100 Club are here, because we understand the value of the 100 Club and what it means for families like this that have gone through this awful, awful tragedy, and how you can help when it comes to families like this, which is why we're asking you to donate by texting 100 Club to 620-620. That's 100 Club to 620-620. We'll tell you all the ways that you can donate, all the ways that you can get involved when we come back here on the Burns and Gambo Show at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You're the lifeline that our first responders rely on in times of personal tragedy and great need.
Holiday Heroes with Burns and Gambo.
Benefiting the 100 Club of Arizona.
On 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Holiday Heroes is presented by Copper Springs Health and your Arizona Ford dealers.
Back here with you on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station.
That was one of the tougher ones in all the years we've done this.
Yeah, I always feel so terrible for the people who are willing to tell those stories on the air, because that cannot be easy. That cannot be easy. What they just did.
Look, Kaylee and Debbie were here to support the 100 Club, and you know, and hopefully that resonates. And so what we're going to do right now, I mean, we're going to ask you to make a donation, and you can make a $25 donation, you can make a $100 donation, you can make anything you want. But the way to make a donation is to text 100 Club to 620-620. We don't have phone banks here. We just do it. This is the way we've done this for the last few years, and it works well. Just text. Everybody's got a phone. Text 100 Club to 620-620. Kaylee was in the Navy. Tyler was in the Navy. And they both got out of the Navy, and he was fulfilling his dream to be a DPS trooper right here in Arizona. Right. Responded to a call. Somebody's throwing rocks on the highway, and he was shot and killed. And his fiance and his mom are here, and he's gone. And it was a very, very difficult thing for them to do. For their courage to show up, I'm gonna beg you to please make a donation. Go on your text and make a donation, just 100 Club to 620-620, and you can remember Trooper Edenhofer. He was 24 years old. He was came out of the Navy. His mom was in the, what would she say? She was
Air
in the
Force.
Air Force.
In the Air Force.
Mom was in the Air Force. He's in the Navy. She was in the Navy. He was born at Luke Air Force Base. I mean, if you can't make a $25 donation, a $50 donation, I don't know what's going to get you to donate. That story right there should get you to text 100 Club to 620-620 and make a donation.
Yeah, we remember the story. I remember it very well. It was just from a few months ago, and it was just a horrible local story. It resonated nationally, not just locally. And again, just the courage and the guts of Kaylee Edenhofer, his fiance, and Debbie, his mom, to tell that story on the air and to do it to show what the 100 Club means. I mean, that's ultimately why we asked those questions and why we talked about it the way we did, because the 100 Club in those moments after that, they were there for the Edenhoffers. They were there for Kaylee. They were there for Debbie with financial assistance, emotional assistance. They're continuing with the emotional assistance literally as we're speaking right now out of the corner of my eye. I can see it going on. So it never stops. And that's why we are asking you to donate. That's why, as Gambo said, we're really hoping that story will motivate you to pick up your cell phone and text 100-CLUB, 100-CLUB, to 620-620 and make that donation. Donate $25 so you can win one of our jerseys. Donate $100 so you can be registered to win the Ultimate Arizona Sports Package, Fan Package, with all the great tickets and the fat scooter and everything that we're giving away as part of that. There's a lot of things for you to win, and there's a lot of reasons for you to do it. They don't have anything to do with the stuff that you can win, just the feeling like you did something good around this holiday season. So again, text 100-CLUB to 620-620 and make a donation on behalf of the 100-CLUB. We would very much appreciate it.
Yeah,
today.
Tyler had just been with the agency for 52 days, and was in his final days of training. And you know, when he tragically lost his life, and that's the third. We've had three. We had a marshal that was killed 10 days ago, shot and killed, leaves behind a wife and four children. We've had, you know, three this year, and it just seems like every year it just gets harder and harder.
Yep, no doubt. We will continue here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We thank you again for your generosity. We still have a couple of hours to go. We are looking forward to hearing from you. Text 100-CLUB to 620-620. Make a donation today to benefit the 100-CLUB of Arizona. It's our Holiday Heroes broadcast here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.